Lauren, I'm really curious to hear what you all have to say about BRCA testing and PARP inhibitors nowadays. So let's hear about your 30-year-old lady, Lauren.
Okay, so this is a 30-year-old woman that I saw a couple years after her initial diagnosis. She does have a pathogenic mutation in BRCA2. At her initial presentation at age 27, she was found to have a T2M2, at the time said to be M0, left breast cancer. She received neoadjuvant chemotherapy with what appears to be only 4 cycles of TAC. And she had a prolonged neutropenia that required more than a month-long hospitalization. So her chemotherapy was discontinued at that time. And she went on to a left mastectomy with a residual 1.3-centimeter invasive ductal carcinoma, grade 3, and it was ER 80%, PR 20%. HER2 was not amplified by FISH, and she had 4 positive lymph nodes out of 10. She was started on tamoxifen. She did go on to receive adjuvant radiation therapy to the chest wall, but not the lymph node fields, because when they were planning the CT imaging for the radiation, they compared it to the PET scan, and they actually believed that she had bone involvement at that time. So she was given tamoxifen, and then she was actually lost to follow-up. She had presented to me, or actually within a few months, she had developed abnormal imaging on the contralateral breast and underwent a mastectomy for premalignant cells with no lymph node involvement. She continued on the tamoxifen and then was lost to follow-up, but noted a supraclavicular lymph node in early 2016, so decided to seek evaluation. She underwent full imaging by her primary doctor, actually with a PET scan, and it revealed FDG uptake in the left supraclavicular, thoracic, perihilar, carinal, subcarinal, and anterior mediastinal lymph nodes. So that's when I initially saw the patient. She was still pending a hysterectomy, bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy, but she had not menstruated since the time of her initial chemotherapy. So I started the patient on Zoladex in June of 2016 and letrozole the following month, and then palbociclib. There was a delay because of insurance authorization, and she remained on that until June of 2017, when she became progressively more short of breath, cough, and was hospitalized with a pleural effusion and what was thought to be lymphangitic carcinomatosis in the lungs.
So before we talk about how she was managed, can you talk a little bit more about what her situation was? I see also that there's a question of whether she had lymphangitic spread of disease.
Right, so at her most recent progression, that's what it appeared to be on the CT imaging. We reviewed it with the radiologist, and it just fits with the patient's clinical picture.
Is she dyspneic or have any
She is. She has cough, she is short of breath. She's a single mother of a 6-year-old, and that's where she was actually noticing more of her issues, that she wasn't able to keep up with him when she takes him to the park or do other things. So it became more and more progressive. And when she would come into the office, although her saturation by pulse oximetry appeared very normal, she would come in just from the waiting room into the exam room, be short of breath, and tachycardic just in that little bit of walking.